Gratitude playlist now arrives at track 3. Miracle. Text has been read from Mark 5:25-34. I listened to the song by Timothy Wright, and it's a simple song that only has one verse. Sometimes less is more. Thank you, Lord, for my miracle. I praise you, Lord, for my miracle. You made a way out of no way. I never understood that phraseology until I got older. You made a way out of no way. You turned my darkness into day. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for my miracle. The idea of a miracle has been used so much and possibly used in a way that may not give the full power of what a miracle is, to the point where we look for miracles as the end result of something. Some people go to God. No, I take that back. All of us at some point have gone to God seeking a move, an instantaneous move to happen for us. And sometimes praying that it would be the end result of something we have been going through. We pray for healing in our bodies. Yeah. There are people in here that have been survivors of what are known as terminal diseases. And the idea of terminal means that's it, that's all, and it's over. But as I've learned, even when God heals you of that, sometimes your body will get sick again. Even if it's a cold, stuff happens. It does not negate what God did in that moment, but it should teach us that a miracle is not something to lean on, but it is the beginning of something new. Okay. Some of y'all may not take notes, but you may want to take that down as a note. That was actually something to keep. A miracle is something that is the beginning point of something new. It is not the end point of something bad. It is the beginning point of something new. And the trouble that we have is that once God shows up in our lives, we begin to think that all other stuff is now over. When God shows up and we now have financial breakthrough and we now have positions we've never had, we now experience certain things at certain points in our lives that are so much better than when we were in that great pit, we believe, at least if it's only for a moment, that when God showed up like that, it was the end of a thing, when it was really the beginning of something new. My life was a certain way prior to my lowest point. And when God showed up, everything began to change and life got better. But it was not to say that I would never face trouble again. Okay, so I think I got everybody's attention. When God shows up for you, after you have left all your stuff at the altar and you come back and you testify to how good the Lord was in showing up in that thing that you left before the Lord, we will shout with you. But I'm also going to say it's now the beginning of a new thing. In other words, you can't go back to what you used to be after God shows up for you. You can't go back to being in the same mindset and condition that you were when God shows up for you. You are now positioned to move forward. But here's the other part. Even though we may know that it's the beginning of a new thing, sometimes we don't know how to embrace the new thing. We prayed for the new thing. We prayed for a different outcome. We prayed that things would get better. But sometimes we don't always know how to embrace better. So a miracle is not only the beginning of a new thing, but it's also a teaching moment of what not to take with you as you go forward. If I am going to be rich, use a natural example. If I'm going to be a millionaire, billionaire, whatever, I cannot have a broke mentality. What do you mean? What do you mean, preacher? What do you mean? Life example, personal example. Warren Buffett is a billionaire. And this man who has billions of dollars can do whatever he wants. This is his daily routine. He drives an old Cadillac. All these new ones out here, he can buy a whole bunch of them. He drives the same old Cadillac. Goes to McDonald's. Has the same breakfast sandwich every morning. Looks at the stocks, makes his moves, and goes home. And his money is making money. He may go to an occasional basketball game and hang out with, you know, Bill Gates. And they may go to a game. They're able to afford court-sized seats, but they got clothes on that look like they might have come from a thrift shop. But their money's making money. A broke mentality would be, I'm going to spend every dollar I have to prove that I've arrived. And then all of a sudden, you ain't got what you thought you had. Mm-hmm. Now that I've arrived, I'm going to prove that I've arrived. You see what I mean? A miracle, and even talking about the miracle, and even displaying certain gratitude from the miracle, is not an opportunity for you to prove that God showed up for you. But it is to be able to remind yourself that at this moment God changed everything, and in gratitude I'm moving in a different direction. The woman with the issue of blood is an interesting character for many reasons. One, because in the story and according to the law, she shouldn't have been there. Because according to the law, she was unclean. So she shouldn't have even been out there. And number two, she has this disease that causes her to bleed daily, and it's happened for 12 years. So if you want to see or get an image of what this scene kind of looked like, she's crawling around people while bleeding, and on top of that, she's probably got her clothes messed up, the ground messed up, and people being touched and encountered by her that are now ceremonially unclean. And everybody's pressing in on Jesus because they want to be around him and they want to be in his presence, and in turn blocking her out. But because she had come to a point where her money has run out, all these quacks have told her all kind of stuff, but they couldn't help her. She had finally run out of options. She risked being out of line to get close enough to Jesus so he could help her. Bleeding, catching dirt, having to deal with all that. And she says within herself, if I can just get to the hem, to the seam of his garment. I don't need to see his face. I don't need to touch his hand. I don't need him to touch me. I just want to get close enough that I can just touch his clothes. I'll be made whole. What a witness. She's not asking for much. She just wants to get close enough. Sometimes we forget about what it means to be desperate for God. When we're going through stuff, we're so drawn back and blocked out by stuff that we forget how to press on in. How to take that moment when you're in your home by yourself and everybody else is gone and you have to deal with your own thoughts, to just sit down, pray, and ask God, I just need to get close enough to you right now, because everything going on around me is bothering me so bad that I just can't get through this thing right now. Is there somebody in here? Maybe it's just me. If it's just me, that's fine. But have you ever had a moment when you just needed the Lord to just hear you, just to get close to the Lord? Every once in a while, I pray in a different way. I do not get up here and sound eloquent with God sometimes. When I'm going through some stuff, and I've been through some stuff in the last week, I look straight up to heaven and I take my little old finger, because I'm small in the presence of God. And I say, now God, you said that you would. You said that you would help me. I'm going through it. I am not trying to be overtaken by all this stuff. So I need you. I don't need all this other stuff. I need you. So you're pressing her way, trying to get close enough. And then she gets to that bottom of that garment. And Jesus in the crowd of thousands stops and says, who touched me? Thousands of people all around him. And he stops and asks, who touched me? And people will read this wrong sometimes, and they'll probably feel like this disciple felt, saying, how are you going to be around all these people and ask who touched you? Everybody's pressing in. It's very likely that a lot of people touched you. But what Jesus is saying is somebody got a hold of him. Somebody got a hold of me now. Somebody tapped into the power that I offer. That woman prayed within herself. Ain't that what the text says? She didn't pray out loud. She didn't pray so that he could hear her. She said within herself that if I could get close, I'll be made whole. And Jesus felt power leave. And he said, who touched me? Listen, when you are really trying to seek God's face, you do not need to come up with some superficial way to do it. God is looking for people to just be honest. The woman was honest. I can't get close enough physically. I just need to get close enough where the Lord knows that I've been trying to get close. And Jesus, who touched me, began looking around. And the woman, knowing what happened for her, showed her face and said, it was me. And then Jesus did this, because some people miss this part. The miracle wasn't just power leaving his body and hitting her and healing of her condition. The text says, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Wait for it. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Jesus had to confirm it. So until Jesus confirmed it, she wasn't going to receive it. Sometimes God does stuff in our lives and changes us, but we don't wait for the confirmation. So now, Jesus not only confirmed the healing, but Jesus also told her how to go. From this moment forward, go in peace. Do not be consumed by what was. Go in peace and be healed. Don't just take the power. Go in peace because you have no more worry of the thing that consumed you. So, when a miracle happens in your life, there are three things that get revealed by that miracle. Number one, it reveals the ineptitude of past remedies. The woman came after being bankrupted by people that could not heal her disease. Y'all read that, right? There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. This doesn't make sense. Something should be known. They had nothing. She had suffered much under many physicians and spent all she had and was no better, watch this, but rather worse. So not only did she go to people who she thought had the expertise, they diagnosed her condition so wrong that as they treated her, she was treated in a way that caused her condition to get worse. Let me go here. When you're going through things in life, be careful of the doctors around you. What are you talking about, Pastor? We do need to go. Yes, we need to go get checked for our medical conditions, all that stuff. So you know I'm talking about a metaphor, right? Some of us got too many doctors around us trying to diagnose stuff in our lives, and they ain't got good sense. Some of them are in your family. Some of them are your so-called friends. Some of them are at your job. Some of them are in the street, all that kind of stuff. Some of us got too many doctors. And they trying to tell you what you going through. They going through stuff and superimposing their mess on you, and you don't even realize it. And then they try to treat your stuff according to their understanding, and we're all guilty of it. We allow folk to do it. Because we think, because they care about us in our minds, that they're going to tell us something that ain't going to hurt us. But there are times when you can't lean on folk that don't have the insight to what you're really dealing with. Every challenge in your life is not easily seen. We don't always deal with natural stuff. The Bible says that we deal with what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. We deal with challenges that are beyond the physical eye. We are dealing with stuff that presses our minds, our mental and our emotional health. We are dealing with things that press in our spirit that require more than just conjecture. You need to know that the Lord still got all the answers. And if God shows up for you, God will turn the situation around. I don't care how the Lord does it, but when the Lord does it, you will know that the power you needed to change your situation came from the right place. Stop calling your so-called friends that don't know the Lord and don't have enough sense to be able to tell you that at certain moments in your life, don't talk to me about it, talk to God about it. Get some people in your life that will look at you and say, you know what? I love you enough to tell you, I ain't even got the answer for this. But what I do know is that the Lord can make it clear. And if you trust and never doubt, the Lord will bring you out. That's the God you serve. We got inept remedies from the past. A miracle show about past remedies and their ineptitude. Number two, it'll show that faith, they'll show that you need to have faith in the source of your miracle. The woman said, if I can touch the hem of the garment that is on the man that I need help from, I will be made whole. If I can touch the clothes of the one that I'm trying to reach, I'll be all right. She didn't have faith in the clothes. She had faith in Jesus. Let me say it again. So when you are up late at night and you see all these people trying to sell you little scraps of whatever, and that you understand that there's no power in the cloth. The power was in the man that was in the cloth. If I can get to the cloth on the man, I will be able to get power from the man. If I can just find a way to get close enough to the Lord, I know that the Lord will work it out. Lord don't even need to see my face. Lord don't even need to know anything about me. I just need to get close. She had faith that Jesus could do it. Why would she have faith that Jesus could do it? Because Jesus was already doing it. And the reputation had gone throughout the area. So why not give it a shot, right? And she said, I know I'm not worthy enough because my condition to be around somebody like that. But if I could just get close enough, even all these important people around, I just believe that the Lord will do it for me. You and I need to start believing for real that God can and God will. It's one thing to talk about it in church. It's another thing to live like it's going to happen. It's one thing to come up in here and lie to us when you shout. Y'all missed that too. Cool. It's one thing to come up in here and put on a show for us. We don't know all the details. But when you leave out of here, if you still doing the same thing and saying, I know the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, he will. That makes a difference. How do you live it? Being honest. I don't feel good today. I don't feel like being up here. I don't feel like being around a bunch of folk and all this kind of stuff with what I feel on the inside. I'm just using an example. But I just believe that the Lord will help me to be able to be what I ought to be right now, even in the midst of what I'm going through. I don't feel like being around a bunch of people and acting like I need to be fake so I can cover up the fact that I'm sad and that I'm lonely and that I'm this and that I'm that. But God, I just need you to help me. I don't want to get around a bunch of people and lie to their face with my actions and act like I want to be here. I'd rather be at home, sitting in my recliner, minding my business. But Lord, if you can just help me just a little bit, I know I can get through my anxiety. Lord, I don't always feel up to it, but if you just help me. And there are moments when the Lord shows up so heavy that when you look back at what happened, you say, I know that wasn't me. I know I was not in a position to help nobody. I know I didn't have enough in me and enough love in me at that moment to be any good to anybody. But how in the world could I not serve a God like this that will show up in my situation and give me energy, joy, and power to be able to keep on going? Why would I not come to the house of God and give God praise in the midst of everything I'm going through when God is the only one that has kept me in the midst of it all? I'm dealing with all kind of stuff, but I can't help but thank God that I'm being kept by his hand. I got to be able to rise up and let somebody know that because I believe in the one that's able to keep me from falling, that the one that holds my hand has kept me from going over the edge, the one that is keeping me right now from jumping off the cliff, the one that's able to do beyond my stuff. Why would I not show you better than I can tell you about how he has brought me through? If I can touch, and she did touch him by the prayer that she prayed. That's a lesson on prayer. Pray real prayers. Pray honest prayers. Because the Lord is touched by what matters to you. Don't let people tell you that this stuff doesn't matter. It matters. Don't let people tell you that how you feel about a thing doesn't matter. If it matters to God, it matters. It mattered to Jesus, and power left, and her faith was emboldened to the point where she had to show herself and say, it was me. But the last thing a miracle reveals is your desire for wholeness. This woman did everything against the law. This is deep. She broke every law she could to get close to Jesus. All laws are not lawful, and all laws are not just. And I'm not afraid to say it because it shows here in the text, every law is not lawful and every law isn't just. Yes. Carry that for the next couple months, and when it's time to vote, you remember that. Yes. That's my only voting thing for the rest of the year. Yes. Every law is not lawful. Yes. Every law is not just. An unjust law is no law at all. So this woman broke every possible code and law within her tradition just to get to Jesus. She wanted to be whole. Everybody talking about being whole ain't willing to do what it takes to be whole. I saw something one of my friends posted this morning, and I can't believe it's sticking in my head. Is it possible that we're microwave Christians that serve a crockpot Jesus? We want instant, and God's trying to give us complete. So she pressed her way and she got to Jesus, and the power she needed for her healing was dispensed from Jesus into her body. And when Jesus spoke and asked who touched him, she did not hide, even though she felt like hiding. She revealed herself before they found her. And she said, it was me. And then Jesus said, guess what? Go in peace. Be healed of your disease. Wholeness comes from God. But your ability to receive it is on you. God can make anybody whole. But it's on you and I to receive it. So, from here going forward, for every introvert and extrovert in the place, do not hide when God does stuff in your life. And why shouldn't you hide it? Because folk need to know that there is tangible evidence of God's movement. And to go all the way back many weeks, you and I are the evidence. If God has blessed you and done a miracle in your life, you ought to be able to look somebody in the eye when they doubt that things are going to change, when they feel like nothing is going to happen for them, when everything seems like it's going to go under. You ought to be able to look at them in the face and say, look at me. Don't look at the stuff that God has blessed me with. Don't look at how the Lord has blessed me. I need you to look at me, because I was where you were. And let me tell you, if the Lord didn't do what the Lord was able to do, then I would have been all messed up and I still wouldn't be here right now. That is your entree and your beginning point of your new season. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that when God shows up for you, even if you weren't talkative before, even if you weren't able to tell nobody anything because you were too nervous to open your mouth, when God blesses you, when God shows up for you, when God opens doors for you, when God makes a way for you, when God does a miracle in your life, when God does everything that seemed impossible, when God blesses your children, when God blesses your grandchildren, when God blesses your life, when God heals your body, when God does all that God does, then you are in a position to be able to open your mouth and not wait for the preacher to tell it, but to be able to tell it for yourself, that God is my refuge and strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. I feel like closing this, like I feel like I need to close it. But every now and then, you ought to be able to say that it wasn't on me and it wasn't about me, but I got to a place where I was able to lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. And all my help doesn't come from no hills, but all my help comes from the Lord that made heaven and earth. Is there anybody here that is just like me, that knows about how good God has been to them? How many doors have been opened? How many ways have been made? How many opportunities have come? It wasn't your education. It wasn't your money. It wasn't your status. But it was the hand of God that showed up for you and made things work out in your favor. I know we're a good, quiet UMC church, but can we have just one quick Pentecostal moment and act like we've been here before and tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for every way you made. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for holding me. Thank you for drying my tears. Thank you for blessing my house, blessing my family, blessing my children, touching my body, doing what nobody else could do. I shout now because of what God is going to do in my life that I have not seen yet. I shout now because of what God has already done. I am unapologetic about being wild for God, because I know that the Lord always comes through. He may not come when you want him, but if you hold on, the Lord will show up on time. Yes, he will. So stop making your miracle an end point. It's your turning point. It's your turning point. But your life will never be the same.